Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fasta Mai, good evening. Welcome to the programme. We'll bring you more details about some of tonight's top stories, including will teachers be paid for last week's snow day? It came up in the House of Keys earlier today. Also in Keys, that debate about Christmas carols in schools. Were they banned or not? We'll find out in a few minutes. Also tonight, we'll get an update on how the Queen's Pier restoration is going. And with the countdown on to the House of Keys general election officially underway, we launch our 2 minute Minutes to Tell Us candidates series. Tonight, sitting member Sarah Maltby tells us why she's seeking re-election for Douglas South. All that, we'll have the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you can text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Amy. Fasta Mai.
Fasta Mai. The Education Minister says an attempt to reopen schools for half a day on last week's snow day was based on information received that there'd be a small improvement in the weather. The announcement to close the schools, initially due at 7 o'clock in the morning, was then 20 minutes late. In the House of Keys, Education Minister Daphne Kane said the Strategic Coordinating Group held detailed discussions with all agencies on the ground.
The fact that there was a mid-morning reassessment was the recommendation that came to me.
The Treasury Minister assures the Isle of Man government has a zero-tolerance approach to bribery and corruption. It follows the publication of data from the Audit Advisory Division showing an increase in reports from government workers of financial irregularities since 2021. Alex Allenson says an integrity line set up in 2022 is in part behind the increase in reports, but admits there may be a more concerning reason behind some of them.
People will make honest mistakes and own up to it, but it would be unreasonable for me to say, look, there's no bad apples in there. There's nobody at all that might be tempted to do something that is illegal and is wrong.
A senior lecturer in mental health nursing on the Isle of Man has been struck off the nursing register after groping a student nurse. Henry Mutasa was working for Manx Care and University College Isle of Man when the incidents occurred between September 2019 and May 2023. Starting this month, chickenpox vaccines are to be offered as part of routine childhood immunisations. From now on, GP practices will start to offer children a combined MMRV vaccine at 12 months and 18 months to add chickenpox to the protections against measles, mumps and rubella. Turning to international news now, and the British Foreign Secretary says the UK condemns in the strongest terms the horrendous and brutal killing of protesters in Iran. Yvette Cooper is the latest European minister to summon the Iranian ambassador over the country's anti-government protests, while Donald Trump's told demonstrators help is on the way. Another hospital trust in England has declared a critical incident. Nottingham University Hospitals joins three others in Surrey and one in Kent due to severe and sustained pressure on its services. And former Manchester United player Michael Carrick's expected to be appointed as the club's interim head coach later. He'll take over until the end of the season following Ruben Amorim's sacking. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Thanks very much, Amy. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So this evening and tonight is going to be dry, clear intervals, but there will be some cloud developing later. A moderate to fresh west to northwest wind that will gradually turn to the southwest, and minimum temperatures will be around 2. So tomorrow, much of it will be dry, some brightness through the morning, but it will turn cloudy during the afternoon, and it's going to rain tomorrow evening. Mainly moderate winds, they'll bat to the south and become strong by evening as well. Highs of 8 or possibly 9 tomorrow. The rain will clear to the east overnight and the wind will turn to the southwest, and Thursday will be mainly dry and bright with sunny spells.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
You listen to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 4.5 minutes past 5. So as Amy mentioned in the news headlines just now, the Education Minister can't confirm if teaching staff will receive their salaries for the 5th of January. So that was a day schools were closed due to that amber weather warning, which saw snow and icy roads. It was revealed in the House of Keys today that a staff briefing was sent out stating government employees who remained at home would not be paid. Now, Daphne Kane confirmed her department's aware of the communication shared and has met met with head teachers to clarify that it's liaising with Central HR, as the decision to close schools was the department's decision. However, Arbury Cast Tanamalu MHK Jason Morehouse has called for a review as quickly as possible.
I'm really concerned about what is happening at the moment. In terms of teaching, it's more and more difficult to get the best teachers to come and work in the Isle of Man. At the same time, the current minister is making decisions that are encouraging our existing teachers to move away. Last year, we heard that the teachers who couldn't get back home, the classroom teachers who couldn't get back home, would not be paid. The managers who could work online were paid. This year, we're actually hearing that all teachers potentially may not get paid for work they were expected to do on the 5th of January. And I think that is really quite concerning. At the time we hear some teachers actually using the food bank, that on the 25th of January, when they're expecting their pay to come in, they could actually lose a day's pay. And it is really serious. It's something I really do ask the minister, please could you sort out as quickly as possible. In terms of the requirement of when we get paid, there's a date in January when there must be clarity in terms of working days done. And if we're removing the 5th of January from all teaching staff and saying you're getting no pay on that day, it's a serious thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the minister must really buckle down in the next few hours and get clarity on this, because I don't want the island's teaching staff to be any more unhappy than they are at the moment.
As I've said, my department is liaising with HR, and everyone would like that to be resolved as soon as possible.
That's the Education Minister Daphne Kane answering a question from the Arbury Cast Tanamalu MHK Jason Morehouse. So we're going to stay with schools now, because did a school on the Isle of Man really not allow students to sing Christmas carols, or is it just hearsay? So this was the subject of another debate in Keys today, with the Education Minister shooting down claims from the Onchan MHK Julie Edge that a school had in fact done just that. Now, Minister Kane says her department has contacted all schools in recent days, and not one of those which responded said it had imposed any restrictions. So Mrs Kane questioned where the Onchan member had got her information from.
The department does not collect information on individual schools' decisions about singing carols during Christmas events. However, all schools are permitted to have carols sung. Following notification of this question, my office contacted every school, and not one reported that carols were not sung.
So the people that have contacted me were actually at a school where carols were not sung. So therefore, can the minister confirm, are our children not taught the words of carols anymore in our schools? Is this the first step to actually taking away the traditional model of education in our schools and nativity and the singing of carols? Can she check what the actual policy is? Is there a policy? And also, with regards to new teachers arriving on our island, are they aware when they come out of the UK school system that doesn't allow words to be sung to carols, that the Isle of Man is different, it is unique, and it is a Christian society?
I take exception to some of the Honourable Member's comments there. Nobody has contacted me, and I would say if any member of a school community has concerns, they should raise them initially with the head teacher, but I have not received any information. If the Honourable Member wants to inform us which school this is purported to have happened at, I will gladly follow it up. But it is an operational matter for schools what nativity events or Christmas concerts they put on in their own school community. I don't have any more information to say, except the department encourages schools to promote inclusivity, respect for all faiths and traditions. But I know from the various information that I've had, in a number of which I was pleased to attend, there is a whole wealth of traditional nativity plays being undertaken by various schools and at the senior schools' Christmas carol concerts. I would very much welcome the Honourable Member providing more context for the background for this question, please. This feels a bit like fear-mongering with rumours or hearsay.
Yeah.
If any individual has...
I do not stand in here and say hearsay or fear-mongering. I've had these facts delivered to me. It is factual information I'm bringing in here to ask a question.
If the Honourable Member knows or witnessed herself a school where carols were not permitted to be sung, then I would urge her to advise me the name of the school so my department can follow it up.
OK, so that was the Minister Daphne Kane talking again to Julie Edge MHK. We're going to have an interview with Miss Edge on breakfast tomorrow between 6 and 9. So we'll find out more details about that then. It is coming up to 10 past 5. And while we might not remember it, most of us might have had chickenpox when we were young children. And starting this month, vaccinations against the disease are to be offered as part of routine childhood immunisations. Now, Manx Care says the extra protection is being included as part of the island's vaccination programme for the first time in a bid to prevent young children from getting seriously ill. Lewis Foster has the details.
The introduction of the jab also aligns the Isle of Man with the updated NHS childhood vaccination programme. From now on, GP practices will start to offer children a combined MMRV vaccine at 12 months and 18 months of age to add chickenpox to the protections against measles, mumps and rubella. Most of us will have had chickenpox when we were younger. It's a common infection which spreads easily, usually mild, but Manx Care says it can lead to serious complications which need hospitalisation, including chest infections and fits. In this day and age, half of children will contract chickenpox by the age of 4 and 90% by the age of 10. Children who catch it are typically advised to stay off school until all spots have formed a scab, which is usually 5 days after they appear. Manx Care says the new vaccine will mean children miss fewer days in nursery or school and reduce time parents need to take off work to care for them. It says GP surgeries will be contacting families to let them know when they are due their vaccinations and can book their child for their appointment, usually by letter, text message, phone call or email. You can find the new vaccination schedule in full at manxradio.com.
You're listening to Update. It's coming up to 11 and a half minutes past five. Now, the Treasury Minister has spoken out about a rise in reports of financial irregularities across government. Data published last week in response to a Timwell question for written answer shows a steady year-on-year increase since 2021. Three reports in the past financial year related to concerns around bribery and corruption. Lewis sat down with the Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, to find out what it's all about.
It means that in terms of the way government acts, in terms of financing, whether that's done in the right way. And we have a huge amount of procedures and bodies involved in government have to adhere to those. Now, what we've been doing over the last couple of years is trying to make it far easier for people to report financial irregularities. Often that's people within government itself. In September 2022, we set up what's called the Integrity Line, which is an anonymous way people can report irregularities that they see. And some of these are really minor. And I suppose the highlights really are some of the perhaps more juicy things from a media perspective in terms of alleged bribery, corruption, theft and fraud, and how those are reported and then how those are dealt with.
We'll go on to that then, because there was three reports last year, the last financial year, which fell into the category of bribery and corruption. One the year before that. How concerned are you about those reports?
Yeah. These are allegations which then have to be fully investigated.
Do they have to be based on evidence, as it were? Does somebody have to see a spreadsheet or an email to be able to report this, or can it be just a low-level suspicion?
It can be low-level suspicions. I mean, we do value people coming forward, sort of saying, I've seen something or I know of something, I've been involved in something, and it didn't seem right, and I don't know where to take this. So again, those come through often on the Integrity Line, which can be anonymous. Again, you have to understand that we've got a workforce right across government of over 7,000 people. People will make honest mistakes and own up to it, but I think it would be unreasonable for me to say, look, there's no bad apples in there, there's nobody at all that might be tempted at some point to do something that is illegal and is wrong. And then it's absolutely our responsibility to investigate that and, if necessary, then pass that on to the police.
That is the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, talking to Lewis. Much more to that interview, you can find it in full as a newscast at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, nothing to report on the police pages, which is always good news. It's the usual roadworks that are around the island at the moment. So temporary lights in Onchan on Whitebridge Hill, that's 24 hours a day for street light replacement. Also in Onchan, there are temporary lights on Harbour Road, that's at the Sunningdale Drive Junction, 24 hours a day for a gas leak. In Braddon, until Friday, that stretch of Saddle Road is one way at the junction with the new Castletown Road. Traffic is being diverted. Also in Braddon, temporary lights on Cool Road, that's near the business park, that's 24 hours a day for work on the pavements. And near Peel, all this week, the switchback is closed for patching work. All okay down at the airport and with the steam packet as well. The Manxman is due in at around 5:40, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
You're listening to Update. It's coming up to 5:15. A senior lecturer in mental health nursing has been struck off the nursing register after groping a student nurse. Siobhan Fletcher has the details.
Henry Mutasa was working for Manx Care and University College Isle of Man when the incidents occurred between September 2019 and May 2023. The Nursing and Midwifery Council found that he groped the breast and backside of a student nurse, referred to during the hearing as Student A. He also put his arm around the waist of a second student nurse, referred to during the hearing as Student B, and put his head on her shoulder. These actions were deemed to be sexually motivated in that he sought sexual gratification. The panel found that there was no justification for Mr. Mutasa's behaviour and that he abused his position of authority as a senior nurse lecturer with no prior personal relationship with either student. It also found that Mr. Mutasa's actions were highly inappropriate, amounting to misconduct. Additionally, it was also found that he had bullied a third student nurse, Student C, by raising his voice and banging his hands on the table. In relation to Student C, he also denied their request to have another member of staff present during a meeting, refused to let them leave said meeting, and later disclosed confidential information relating to the student to another student. The panel found that Mr. Mutasa's conduct undermined Student C's confidence and could have discouraged her from pursuing her nursing training to its full potential. The panel found that this behaviour from a senior nurse and nurse lecturer in a position of authority was a sufficient departure from the standards expected of a registered nurse and amounts to serious misconduct. A spokesperson for Manx Care said, "We are committed to ensuring that all health and social care professionals meet the standards required by their respective regulatory bodies. The organisation fully cooperates with those regulators where concerns are raised or investigations are undertaken." The individual referred to no longer works for Manx Care. "In accordance with our policies and our duty of confidentiality, Manx Care does not comment on the circumstances of individual, current or former employees."
That's Siobhan Fletcher reporting. 5:17. So, this September, the Isle of Man, as we know, will go to the polls for the House of Keys general election. And those over the age of 16 who are eligible to vote will choose the 24 MHKs who will represent their area for the next 5 years. And in the run-up to that, we're aiming to give you as much information as we possibly can about those standing in your constituency. You can find a link to our election mini site on the Manx Radio webpage, manxradio.com. One of the things we'll be inviting all candidates to do is called 2 minutes to tell us. And that's where, quite literally, these people have 2 minutes to tell you why they deserve your vote. Well, sitting member Sarah Maltby is the first person to declare for Douglas South, and this is her 2 minutes.
"In 2021, I made pledges in my manifesto and I believe I've done my best to deliver on them. I reviewed maternity and paternity allowances and secured the first major rise in over a decade. I've tackled unfairness in child benefit, reformed regulations and supported the implementation of a childcare inclusion scheme to better support families in need. I joined the Destination First and Visit Board to strengthen ties between government, local authorities and industry. Together we have a collective aim of delivering an enhanced experience of the island to residents and visitors alike. There is still much more to do, but I'm working hard for the people that I represent. I've driven the investment required for additional publicly available changing place toilets. By the end of this year, that number will have increased from 1 to 5. This is making a real difference for accessibility. I've helped bring back the classic TT and supported the introduction of new, exciting events. Raising the profile of the Isle of Man on an international scale is so important for our future prosperity. I've proved to be a sensible, pragmatic, solution-focused MHK, willing to work hard for the people that I serve. I care deeply about the island and I will always be a passionate advocate for our community. But we still have a range of complex challenges to deal with. I will continue to advocate that policies should be evidence-based, financially sound and communicated effectively to the people we serve. I've delivered a Douglas South community newsletter in order to stay in touch, but most importantly, accountable to my constituents. It has been an honour to represent Douglas South and my annual lap around the constituency, one of the highlights of my time being an MHK. If re-elected, I will continue to build on the trust I've nurtured, remain available and always willing to listen. But most crucially, I will keep putting people first. Gurumayad."
That is Sarah Maltby, the sitting MHK seeking re-election in 2026 for Douglas South. As I say, that election mini-site is now available. You can watch the video of Sarah Maltby on there, and everybody who declares will be invited to do the same. It's coming up to 20 past five. Now, women on the Isle of Man who ride motorbikes or just love them are being invited to what's being described as a truly global event later this month. It's all part of the Women Riders World Relay, an international challenge connecting female bikers from around the world. So far, more than 20,000 women from 102 countries have already taken part. And Lisa Brain is the island's WRWR ambassador, and she's organising a special event on Sunday, the 25th of January. She told me more about it, beginning by explaining what the Women Riders World Relay movement is all about.
The World Relay was originally a physical baton being passed woman to woman that went round the whole world. So it started at John O'Groats with Hayley Bell, who's the founder of the organisation, and she got the baton across the country. And basically, the idea was to try and connect women who ride motorcycles around the globe. And, you know, 102 countries, 20,000 women in 2019 completed the full globe. It's about raising the profile.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's still a sport that is very much more associated with men.
Absolutely. Before 2019, if you'd have gone onto Google and Googled motorcycle women, it would have come up with the old-fashioned, you know, bikini-clad women on Ducatis and things. The images were quite different to what you'll find now. So there's organisations like WRWR have raised the profile of women, changed the imagery associated with it and the reputation. You know, we want to raise that profile of women, not just on the Isle of Man, but across the world.
So tell me more about this relay then that's happening.
Okay, so this year is very different to 2019 because we figured that there was a problem with the physical baton. And that is, if you weren't in the right place at the right time, you couldn't be involved in it. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I didn't physically get the baton in 2019. This year it's digital. So an app has been designed so that every woman can have the opportunity to get the baton. You don't have to be in the right place at the right time specifically. I have the baton for the Isle of Man, the golden baton, digitally through the app on my phone. And on the 25th of January at Isle of Man Motorcycles, I will digitally pass the baton to everybody who attends. And then everybody who has the baton then, you know, whether that's five people or 30 people or more, they each then can pass that digital baton on. So it's not limited. It can be exponential.
Who then are you hoping will come along to this?
Everybody who loves motorcycling, all women who either ride on road, off road, doesn't matter what size of bike, whether you're on an L plate, R plate, or have been riding for 50 years, you know, there's no limit to who can come. We just want to bring everybody together and connect all the women who love motorcycling and share that passion, you know.
That's Lisa Brain, the ambassador for the Women Riders World Relay Challenge here on the Isle of Man. That event taking place on Sunday, the 25th of January, starting from 1 p.m. And it's the Isle of Man Motorcycles. That's opposite B&Q. You don't need to register. You can just turn up on the day. Now, the project manager for the Queen's Pier Restoration Trust says work to date has cost in the region of £1 million. Dennis Kirby heads a dedicated team of volunteers and is confident good progress can be made in the year ahead. Simon went to meet him at the pier and put it to him that it must be satisfying to prove the naysayers who said it could never be done wrong.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah, too many people say things that in any part of life, oh, it can't be done, or this can't be done, you shouldn't do that. It can be done, it should be done. The long debate, it should have been done long ago, but through various reasons and what have you. Obviously, the Friends of the Queen's Pier campaigned for many years for the government to do it. And in fairness, the government were never interested in doing it. They were never ever going to do it. I think finances were probably a good excuse for them, but maybe back in the 90s and all, when it was all really flaring up, it was probably true. Maybe there wasn't enough to do it. It's a fantastic piece of Victorian engineering, and it's proved its point. It's 140 years old. It's still as straight as it was when it was built. Yes, top portion, if you like, all the steel beams, and the legs are good. The cross part, the cross stays on the legs, and the legs are still the responsibility of the DOI. We only do everything above the legs, so we're responsible for that. We have to maintain it, so we have to keep maintaining it. That's all part of our lease, because we do only lease it off the government. They are the owners. But, it has to be done because And the fact that the enthusiasm we get from the public, the donations we've received over our Christmas, when we've opened it for Christmas Eve, the night before, the 23rd and 24th of December, New Year's morning, and of course, earlier on in December, when we did the switch on of our lights, we've raised almost £5,000 in just in donations in basically 8 hours of being open.
And I guess that in itself is a huge encouragement.
Oh, heavens, yes. It's great. That's what it's about. The whole point of doing it is to get the people back on the pier, and it's certainly happening.
That is Dennis Kirby from the Queen's Pier Restoration Trust talking to Simon there. Well, Update Sport brought to you by the Print Shed now, and we're going to join Matt Cool and first Darren Timpson.
Fast am I. Starting in tennis, and Isle of Man's Billy Harris' wait to make the first round of the Australian Open continues after defeat today. He was beaten in the first qualifying round to unseeded Chris Rodesh. The Loxton player won in straight sets, 6-4 and 6-3. Harris's best ever result at the Melbourne events came after being knocked out in the third qualifier last year. It's also the first time the world number 121 has lost in the opening round since debuting at the Open in 2024.
In athletics, an Isle of Man record was broken at the Northern Indoor Championships at the weekend. Manx Harriers' Sienna Morrissey ran just under 5 minutes and 30 seconds on her way to winning a silver medal in the under-17 women's 1500 metres in Sheffield. Although Morrissey's achievement was the highlight of the weekend, the rest of the team also impressed in the UK. Frankie Kennedy placed 4th in the under-17 women's high jump, and Sophie Kakin leaped to a 6th place finish in the under-17 women's triple jump. Izzy Kenyuk reached the semi-final of both the 60-metre and 60-metre hurdles. Meanwhile, Western AC's Rory Turner ran his first sub-minute 400 metres, clocking a time of 57.81 seconds. Elsewhere, the Isle of Man's David Mullarkey finished in 26th place at the World Cross Country Championships in the USA. Competing on Saturday, Mullarkey covered the 10-kilometre distance in a time of exactly 30 minutes in Tallahassee, Florida. The Manxman competed for Team GB and was the first British athlete to complete the event. Over 500 runners from 65 countries took part, and Jacob Kiplimo from Uganda came first, winning his third title in a row.
And in rugby, an Isle of Man youngster made his first appearance for Sale Sharks in the Investec Champions Cup a week after making his Gallagher Prem debut. Patrice Bell came off the bench in his team's 26-10 group stage win over the South African namesake, the Hollywood Bets Sharks, last Saturday. Patrice and Sale will next be in action against Toulouse this weekend.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren and Matt. That is all from Update this evening. Thank you for your company. As ever, you can find out all about tonight's top stories by going to the Manx Radio website. Coming up next, it's an Island Life special, and if you're struggling at all with dry January, then there is some midway motivation for you coming up just at 5:30. Chris Kinley is here after that with Greatest Hits from 6. It's the Folk Show with John Barker from 9, and then Dave Moore will be with you from 10 with After Hours. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a great one, and we'll talk to you again at 5 p.m. tomorrow.